Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This fan base is amazing. The city of Cincinnati is amazing, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Desmond fakes a handoff, runs to the right. He's got all sorts of room to the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Bearcats! 20, 25, toward the middle of the field at the 35, and he is gone! Trey Tucker will take it 98 yards to the house. A nip. The Bearcats send a message to the college football world. Did you see that?
Fun day. This is a very, very fun game to watch. Overall, Bearcats securing the win against Eastern Washington, 85-73. Eastern Washington 0-3 to start their season, and the Bearcats on the flip side, 3-0 to start their season. A very, very solid start for the Bearcats. They've looked pretty much dominant in every game. This game, of course, there was a little bit more back and forth, but they still managed to keep a solid lead. For those of you betting the spread, I believe it was 12.5 or 12 points. The Bearcats won 85-73. So if you do some quick math, that is 12 points. So Bearcats keeping it close, trying to cover some spreads. And again, you know, we're going to kind of go in a little bit of a trail back through the first three games of this season, just to kind of keep it fun. We have not yet done a spaces for Bearcats basketball, but I'll make it really quick here, and then we'll talk a little bit more on and the season moving forward. So first game of the season, you got UIC, Bearcats winning 69-58. Overall, you know, it was just a little bit of a mix, but we got some good performances from Jizzle James as well as Day-Day Thomas. Overall, looked like there was some potential there. We just had to see how everything was going to shake out. Of course, a lot of new guys in the roster that we had not yet seen on the floor, much less play together. Fast forward to game two, the other night, I guess it was Thursday night or Friday night, I'm trying to remember. Detroit Mercy, I expected that this game would honestly be a little bit better than it was for Detroit Mercy, and we absolutely blew them out of the water. 61-93, Bearcats, absolutely dominant win. You know, flushed everything home, 3-point barrage. Everybody looked good in this game. There was not a single, you know, player that you could really complain about. I think we had six double-digit scores off of 13 from Jizzle, 11 from Skillings, 10 from Lukosius, 14 from CJ, 13 from Newman, and 11 from Day-Day. All around, great contributions, sharing the minutes. Everything looked pretty good there. And then you fast forward to today, and, you know, here we are. We're sitting, again, like I said, 3-0, and the Bearcats are looking pretty solid. You know, they've definitely shown a few flaws here and there that we need to pick up on. There's definitely some gaps. Again, you know, though we had a fantastic performance today on the MVP of the game, being Victor Lockin with 26 and 10 off of 9 of 12 from the floor, which is just insane, finally returned back to form that, you know, we had been hoping for, taking some strides forward. It looks good for him. And all that aside, we're still going to need those bigs. We're still going to need some of those guys down low just to kind of share out, share the spread there and make sure we can keep some of these guys healthy, keep some guys rotating. You don't want to have to rely on Vic for 30 plus minutes a game if you don't have to. But tonight he really showed out, and I think everybody, you know, played a pretty hard game. And I just love the effort. I love the effort on both sides of the ball. Everything has looked really, really solid so far this year. Of course, three games in, you're not really playing anybody of note quite yet, but you're taking care of business. And that's all that you can really ask for when you go in playing Northern Kentucky next week, next Sunday. So we get a whole week off. Excited for that. But I've talked enough. Hunter, Eric, Tonk, if you want to talk to anybody else who wants to throw in their hat here, feel free to just send the request and we'll let you air it out. But let's start off with Hunter here because we got him in first. Maybe not. I don't know. Well, anybody who's got something, go ahead. Hit me with it.
I'm just ready to see Day-Day fucking cock back one of those piss missiles to the rim and be ESPN number one play. Because that kid is
fearless. It's nuts.
I mean, I don't even understand. Every time it looks like so normal when he does it, but then you see how small he is. It's just crazy. But it was nice to see basically every player that we've complained about since we are just have been brutalized from the football season and we've been highly critical of everything. Every time we've been critical of any player in these first three games, the next game they come around and just kind of shut us up. So it seems like the most complete team ball I've seen in a really long time. Like as soon as, you know, CJ didn't really do shit tonight, but everyone else picked up the slack. So it just seems like it's nice to not be dependent upon one or two guys. And then if they're not on that night, the rest of the team can kind of pick it up. I mean, we shot terrible from the free throw. We missed like 100 layups and somehow we just grinded a team down. That was actually better than probably their record was. I am nervous for some reason about NKU. I did a deeper dive and, you know, they're favored to win their conference and they've pretty much returned everybody last year that beat us. So I think we'll actually kind of have a better footing for who we are then. And I really want to see Eastern Washington had no rim protection. They didn't have any like physical bigs. Their bigs were even weaker than Victor. That's not a knock at him. He's just not a very physical big. And so I'm interested to see what he can do when we get into Big 12 play and bigs are just kind of beating him down if we don't get Jameel or Aziz, fingers crossed.
Yeah, and I think that's like, you know, I think we're all still waiting on that answer. And that's going to be, you know, a big telltale sign for how the season's going to go. It's just knowing whether or not you're going to be able to take some of the load off of him because, you know, he did perform very well under some expectations that he was going to have to excel in a team that really lacked any amount of depth or any star player down low, which is something that we've been asking for a very long time. And that is the part that sucks about the season is, you know, you've been asking for that, you know, bully ball type of player. You've been asking for that really long, lanky player who is very athletic, who can do a little bit of everything, who can draw some attention down low and maybe free up some of your three-point shooters and some of your mid-range. And you finally get those guys. You finally have them on roster. And the NCAA just decides, well, fuck them. We don't care. And that's the worst part. And so hopefully you can get both of those favors through. If not, hopefully you get at least one of them through. I think it really does change the trajectory of your season. But I do agree, too. I mean, I am a little bit nervous on the side of the ball here where we're looking at NKU next week because, you know, I don't think – last year I would like to say it was a fluke. I think, like you said, NKU is a little bit better than maybe people give them credit for, and that's something that we're just going to have to pay attention to. But you absolutely – again, just as it comes to Xavier and comes to the Crosstown Shootout, you really don't have any business not competing in that game. You don't really have any business losing that game. Like, that's the game that you should be winning. And of course, when it comes to Crosstown later throughout this season, Shootout, whichever you guys call it, I always call it Crosstown, and Steve gives me shit for it all the time. It is the Shootout, by the way. But regardless.
Shootout.
Yeah, it's definitely a Shootout. But you get to that point in the season, and you're really just sitting there and hoping that, you know, maybe you've taken care of business in your handful of games so far this season, and now you've got that one that says, all right, this is your measuring stick. This is where you should expect to be going forward, playing some of these guys in the Big 12. And, of course, I think Xavier, too. They've got a handful of new guys, a lot of new roster, too, so you might not necessarily have a lot of guys who feel a lot of juice for this rivalry, but I think that also gives you an opportunity to maybe take an advantage, take a lead, and hopefully put something together there. But regardless, lots of season left. As far as we've gone through the first three, Hunter, Eric, you guys got anything?
I am super excited to see Day-Day and Jizzle just keep developing. Like, you can see it over the past three games, how much more comfortable Jizzle's gotten. And I know it's the competition. I get it. But just seeing him, he's kind of cutting down on mistakes a little bit, but he's getting more comfortable. And like he said, the game's coming to him a little bit slower. Like, it's coming. And then when Dan is just in such an unpolished athletic gem, it's crazy. Like, if he just gets a little bit more under control and starts dropping those shots where he's cutting to the rim and just getting it up against the glass, he's going to be a dangerous player, man. It's going to be fun to see.
Yeah, that's a really good point, too. I mean, I think you put it very well. Unpolished gem for Dan Skillings. I think that he clearly has shown development. He's shown that he's progressing. It's just you're waiting for that point where he shows some of the discipline, I think, to just kind of make some of the better decisions, to not be necessarily so hucky-chucky on some shots. And, you know, I think when we look, you know, based on last year, it felt like we had a lot of that across the entire team. And I think, kind of to Tonk's point before, we're playing a lot of good team ball. There's a lot of assists through a lot of these games. There's a lot of ball movement. The guys are finding a way to get open. They're creating some, open shots too. All in all, I really do think this team looks improved off of last year, albeit with the losses that we had. And I think that might just come down to earth of not necessarily having those backbone guys out the gate. Because I think if you said at the beginning of this season, going in, you have no idea who is going to be, you know, scoring the most points. You have no idea who's going to be, you know, one of the leaders in this game. And now you get through to this point in the season, and that clearly has shown that it could be anybody any night. And that's nice, because you look at last year with Landers and DeJulius still on the roster. Of course, those are going to be your heavily reliant guys, but in the Big 12, you can't have those guys every night, and I can guarantee you those defenses are going to find a way to shut them down. And so when you're sitting here trying to find out who that guy is going to be, I think I wouldn't point to anybody quite yet. And I think there's still a lot of season left to figure out who maybe they are. But, I think Newman has looked really solid. It's great to have him back on the court. That I am still about number one, I think, of the John Newman fan club. That guy is by far one of my favorite Bearcats that we've had in a long time, albeit with some of the short amount of court time we've had with him. He plays hard. He plays that classic, like, nasty Cincinnati defense. He gets up in your face. He hustles every ball. He's chasing after every loose ball. Like, he's trying to create plays. And then on top of that, he just has that tenacity and that overall just excitement on the offensive side of the ball. And a really complete package from the three-point range all the way down to his slashing, his mid-range game. He has everything there to be the star of this team, and I really hope that it can be him. But again, you come back, you look at Jizzle, I think he looks very mature. I don't necessarily think that he looks like a freshman. I think that he looks like a sophomore, maybe even a junior. Like, if this is where he's starting at right now, he can have a lot of progress coming up very quickly. And that I'm super excited for. When you have a guy like, you know, Day-Day next to him that, you know, you can cycle back. It just feels like nothing's really falling off of the first rotation, which, again, that was, I think, a huge struggle last year. As, Tonk has mentioned here earlier, too, like, once those guys come off the floor, you're just waiting for them to get enough rest to get back on. And that's where you need to see the most improvement. You need to see the improvement there. And I think just sort of the effort on the defensive side of the ball. Of course, there was a lot more push for offense. The Bearcats last season were the highest scoring Bearcats of all time, I think. I could be wrong. You'd have to go back where you find that stat to check, but they were averaging damn near 78 points a game, which is nuts. And that, I think, that is an improvement. If you can take that into this season and you can just keep scoring and you can find a way to stay in games, it's a nice breath of fresh air in comparison to what you had in years past with the Mick Cronin teams, where you were just praying that you would hit 60, and you were hoping that the other team did not know how to shoot a three-point shot. So
I just have one more point. I believe that CMOS is the passer that Landers wanted to be last year. Like, Landers had that vision where he could see that pass, but he couldn't quite make it every time. CMOS is that dude. He has that vision and he has that touch. Just like, some of the passes he makes are just absolutely beautiful. Like, just finding open guys when he found Vic down low. Like, it's great to watch. And I think he's going to be everything that we thought he was when we got him in the portal.
And his defense has been the biggest surprise to me.
Yes, yes, yes.
He would, like, lock down on the perimeter. Like, he's got a little more ass behind him than you think. I mean, he can defend pretty physically. So I was very pleasantly surprised by that.
Yeah, and I think that, again, when you look at some of these holes that you were trying to fill in the transfer portal where you have so many of these question marks, it's so nice to just have some of those guys that can do that. Because I think, again, I the part that's impressive to me is just how well-rounded this roster is. And I think that, you know, goes a big credit to Wes Miller, because we've been hoping that we could really just hype up a coach right now. And I think Wes is really deserving of it at the moment, because things do look very exciting for this season. You know, you have a lot of youth in this team. You do have some guys. It's nice to start a freshman or give him, like, near starting minutes, just sharing the load with Jizzle there. I think that he's done a really good job so far of having him out on court, having just some of your youth out there and making sure that you can play some of these guys. I think it's going to be huge. I think it seems like the consensus at this point, I would imagine, I don't know if we've got a final answer yet. If we did, I missed it, is that we're going to have a red shirt for Ravon. I don't know about that, but I think that at this point, just trust the process, trust Wes in that. He's definitely knows what we're doing, what they're doing much better than we do. So I'm really excited for that. And I hope that his future is going to be really bright here. But clearly there's plenty of guys on roster who are doing a good job. I'd also like to give a little bit of a shout out to Josh Reed too. I think that he's been a presence in some of these games, which has been nice, because after last year, just not really seeing the floor much, not really getting much action. I think between the Detroit Mercy game and then, this game today too, like, he's at least getting out on the floor. While he might not necessarily be making a lot of shots or necessarily reeling in a lot of rebounds, he's moving the ball well. He's, kind of taking care of making sure that we're in a good position to win. And so I like just seeing him out on court. I hope to see more of him. I hope to see, again, more of this youth that we have on the team, because that's going to be huge going forward, especially with so many transfers on the team. Steve, let's get you in here too. I know you're finally with us, so got any thoughts, man?
3G, I did. Hello, everybody.
That's all that got through, 3G.
Sorry, 3G, I did.
Yeah, your internet's fucked right now.
I think he's on 3G.
Yeah.
Steve is currently on a little cabin retreat out in the middle of who knows where. So can't really blame him if his internet's not great, but hopefully he can get a more solid connection. Eric, you got anything for us, man?
I like where this team is right now. I like that this looks like what Wes has been trying to do for the past, 2 years? And everybody said, oh, it's not going to work. Oh, well, when Wes gets his guys, it's just going to be the same thing with better talent that we're wasting. But no, it actually looks like his game plans that he's been trying to run actually have the people with the skill behind it to utilize that. And, Victor Lockin, I mean, dude has improved his shooting immensely. I mean, I gotta respect that. I mean, next thing you know, Zach Edey's gonna be, in fear of him every single week. And John Newman, great to see him. I love that he's back. I think he was here for a couple of games in 21, my freshman year, and then he got hurt, and I didn't see him after that. So my knowledge of Newman is not much, but I love the guy. Great dude. Other than that, I mean, this team is just, I don't know what to – there's not much that I can really say, oh, this sucks. And, you know, the only thing that I would like to see is I love the ball movement. That's honestly the best improvement that I've seen all year from last year and the year before. But I want to see them hold on to the ball better. There's been just one too many interceptions against these mid-major teams that makes me worry that when we get into conference play, it won't necessarily improve. And I mean, if this was football and it was, and they were the quarterback, I'd be calling for Brady Lichtenberg to be put in. But I mean, you know, we can get away with it. I think that our talent is, you know, we play defense good enough to get to make up for it. The other thing is free throws. We gotta focus on making those. When you got guys going 3-for-6, 2-for-2, 0-2, I mean, that was kind of one of the big killers last year was free throws losing us games. There are a couple games where you can look back and say, oh, well, if you made those, that would have been a big turner and, you know, at least made it maybe a 1 or 2 point game. But, you know, other than that, those are really the only things. This is a great, great team. Plus, we just came off a win in football. I mean, how much better does it get for us on the?
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, I think right now it's just having everybody in good spirits on this stuff, because I think the season overall, for football at least, has been pretty rough. It's not been very enjoyable to watch week by week. And as you get deeper and deeper into the season, it just felt like everything was just kind of looking more of the same. And yesterday, and so, you know, I did put this together as, you know, mainly on basketball, but I did want to bring up football because we didn't get a chance to do our post-game spaces last night. So we're going to do a little bit of that here today before we wrap up. But yeah, overall, last night's game, Bearcats found a way to win. And that's just been, again, the theme of every single week. I haven't really agreed with the sort of 1-0 thing. I don't even know what that is for the internal side of preaching the 1-0. You have to win a game in conference to be 1-0. So it's just trying to find a win, and we found a win, no matter how it looked. Of course, Houston, not great, but again, you look back in the beginning of the season and some of the games that you were targeting that said, like, hey, all right, you're probably going to drop this game. If your season is not looking great, you're probably going to drop this game. And if your season looks really bad, you're going to drop this game. But even if your season looks really bad, you don't drop this game. And Houston was by far the game that you do not drop. UCF could be a wild card. Clearly, they showed that yesterday in their game against Oklahoma State. They could be anything any week. And so, you know, a team that has had some time to get some talent under their belt, has had a coach around for a while, you expect to do good, even though you've been used to playing them. Houston was a team that was bottom of the barrel. They're coming in with you. You know that you can beat them. You should beat them. And you did find a way to beat them. And so that, I think, I feel relieved, because I can say that we have a win. I would love a win over an existing team in the Big 12, but I will take what I can get. I'm happy that we won a game. No matter how it looked, I'm happy that we found a way to put something together before the end of the season, because it was not looking very good. And overall, I think moving forward, you know, when you've got West Virginia still on the schedule, you've got Kansas still on the schedule, you have some opportunities there, but it realistically, you took care of business in the game that you absolutely should not have had any business losing in.
Yeah, I want to piggyback off that just a little bit, because yes, it is great to win, but I was even more excited about how we won and why we won. And looking back at the roster, I mean, there was probably anywhere from like 10 to 12 redshirt or redshirt freshmen that got in the game. And while some of that was special teams, I mean, it was even just the things from being confident enough to start Raekwon Adkins, even though Jordan Young did come in and have his best game of the year. But Carroll and all those guys in the secondary, I mean, listen, Houston wasn't a world beater by any means, but they were a good passing offense. Like, they averaged over 250 passing yards a game. They weren't like some complete dog shit team. And we held them before that last drive, we held them to like 50 passing yards for the entire fucking game. And it wasn't like fluke stuff. Like, they were shutting them down. Yeah, we had a lucky pick at the end. But I mean, it just kind of got me a little bit excited, because while bowl games aren't in our future this year, at least, hopefully only this year, you know, the future of the team and who's going to the portal and who's going to stay is probably the biggest thing we need to focus on right now. And it was just nice to see the best secondary effort we've ever had was attributed by a lot of the guys that should be on this team next year, and they were the younger underclassmen. So that was really exciting for me.
Yeah, that's a huge thing too. Go ahead, Eric.
Oh, okay. Let's not forget, they beat West Virginia, who we play next. And the big thing that I look at for this is that we're 2-7 right now, 3-7 now. You don't play like that if there's not trust in the coaching staff or respect for the coaching staff. And that's the big thing that I've seen on Twitter, is people saying, oh, Scott Satterfield's lost the locker room. Even if Scott Satterfield is the next Tommy Tuberville, and he's just not that good, he's at least got the belief of this team specifically to go out there as a 2-7 team to try and still win. And we didn't have many penalties, like Tonk said. We've been playing well. You know, we had the best game that we've had all season, even though it was against Houston. That's still a Big 12 logo on the uniform. I think that we have a chance against West Virginia, and I think if we beat West Virginia, we've got a chance against Kansas.
And Kansas just got their guy that's carried them all year injured in Bean as their quarterback. So, I mean, hey, wild card there. But it's just – and every time, too, you brought up a good point, Eric, because, like, every time us fans love to be overcritical of Satterfield, every time we've been like he's lost the locker room, you even saw things like earlier in the year – with Miles, like, Miles just came out and was like, yeah, you know, I fucked up. And then Miles is coming out and running like a fucking demon for him. And, you know, Miles has a good future and talent. He could easily give up and go to the portal. But if he's able to win those guys over, losing 7 in a fucking row, I mean, I don't ever want to compare this to Fick, but, like, the first year wasn't pretty either. And Fickle was able to kind of set the expectations and the culture and get guys to believe in him. And that was the only saving grace of that team. So, it's really cool to see that it didn't look generic in those post-game celebration videos. It didn't look like some cornball shit. It looked like everyone was actually happy. There wasn't anybody sitting down. They were all cheering with them. So it was just really nice to see.
Yeah, and I think that's one of your, you know, sort of big bellwether marks going forward, that you just have to sort of have that accomplished, is you don't – here's one thing that I think that is important to keep in perspective too, because when you look at the past few seasons, you know, albeit last year was pretty ugly given the circumstances, and you really hoped that you could win, and a lot of your losses were just games that you really didn't have business losing. But I think when you look at this year, like you said, the culture is a huge thing, and I having that established early is important. But I think also, to a degree too, there's something special about – when you lose 7 games, finding a way to right the ship. When you lose the way that you have, when you've just been downtrodden and beaten, and your season really, for better or for worse, is pretty much over, other than, you know, playing just to win a couple games, just to kind of get some morale before a transfer portal opens up and your season's done. I think it really does say a lot, like you said, when you can end up finding a way to put something together and you can get some of these guys bought in. Because if you get them bought in before that transfer portal opens up, said, okay, it might not be, you know, perfect. It might be an ugly season. We're still trying to figure stuff out. But if you can stick with us, stick with us. And we're going to find a way to win. I think having that sort of mentality where you can sort of erase the slate, I think is huge. And I'm not going to lie, like, I've been one of the biggest proponents of, like, I have not been one of the people that is calling for Satterfield's head, but I am one of those people that has said this is absolutely stupid. Like, I am still losing the games that you have lost, and the way that you have lost has clearly come down to a few very clear issues that were not getting resolved. And so I think going forward, you know, having the expectation that you can just sort of clean up your ends, do the things well that you've been doing well, continue to do that. And the things that you have not been doing well, fix those. And when you do those small little fixes week by week, game by game, I think you'll see some improvements. And I think that when you get to next season, you'll definitely see some improvements there and some advantages going forward, where, you know, some things that kind of keep you in the game are now winning you games versus, you know, the small mistakes that you might make, having that discipline, again, having the team build that culture, be a team that really is about playing together and is about finding that way to win, even in the most, you know, ugly circumstance that you're just not prepared for, or somebody blindsided you, a team caught you off guard, finding a way to put a win together, I think is really huge. And so it does say a lot about the improvements that have been being made. And, you know, again, it's Houston. It's not a team that necessarily you're going to go touting about that's like, this is the best win ever, but a win's a win. And that's something that we have not had for quite some time. So I think that we've had plenty here covered. I don't want to linger on too much longer. But again, I think overall there is a lot of good vibes coming out of the city of Cincinnati. We'll see how the Bengals finish out today. Last I checked, I think it was 10-7 at the half. So it'll be an interesting one. But for the Bearcats, for football, for basketball, overall, good vibes there, and just hoping that we can kind of continue this little bit of an upward trend. Again, next game for Bearcats basketball is going to be at, or is going to be playing Northern Kentucky at home, and that is next Sunday. And then, of course, we have West Virginia on the road next weekend as well. So hopefully we find a way to put those together and keep the ball rolling. It's been a nice little turnaround weekend here in November when things were looking pretty ugly. So thank you guys for joining. Appreciate it. Appreciate all the feedback. Love it having you guys on here. And, you know, we'll get you on next week, too. Hopefully we have a win to celebrate there as well, and not send us back to the grave. So take it easy, folks. Have a good rest of your weekend. And we'll see you next time.
Go Bearcats.
And go Bearcats, baby.
Sports Social Podcast Network.